excuse me. Now we're going to begin a sharing on fidelity to Yahweh, regardless of the cost. So fidelity in a marriage is so important. Fidelity to Yahweh is even more important. So I'm going to classify, there's really three groups of people, and this is really for younger people or for anybody. I wish Elijah and them would have been here. But there's three groups. We have the world, which is very apparent. You know, we know we're going to stay away from the world. And then we have Christians who have compromised. And that is probably 99% of all Christians have compromised the word. And then we have full followers of Yahweh. And that's what we adhere to, is becoming full followers of Yahweh. The Christians who have compromised are very popular. They're accepted. We know that the world is ruled by the God of this age. And we know that Christians who are compromised are partly ruled also by the God of this age. When you have the full followers of Yahweh, it's really a very lonely group. I think of it as an island. And that's why the groups are small. You're not going to have the masses. And so it's very hard to stand and not be compromised. So Christians who have been compromised, there's two things, and there's complacency. So what happens is complacency. And the complacency means to desire to please, obliging, agreeable. And so most pastors are complacent. It's like running a business. So I want my business to be desirable, to please, and agreeable, because I want customers.
Yeah.
Well, then I must, in order to get customers, what must I do? Give them what they want.
Yeah.
Now, if they don't want the word in its fullness, then I can't give them the word in their fullness, or I will lose my customers. That's complacency, which leads to compromise. And so compromise is to consent to arbitration. So a compromise is, here's what Yahweh, you know, here's the word that says Yahweh, and but this person wants to say God. They don't like the word Yahweh. And so you say, that's all right with me. So that's arbitration. I agree to not say Yahweh. I agree to say that. And we're going to say Trinity. You want three gods? You want Yahweh? Well, I'll come along with you and compromise and agree to, we just won't push it too much, but you got three gods. That's the Trinity. And how that works, this gives you an example. This is called Life Church, which we went to. And we're trying to show young people and everybody else the hypocrisy to what they say and what they actually do. So it says here, our mission is to lead people to become fully devoted followers of Christ. And that sounds great. Mm-hmm. I mean, shouldn't that be an excellent mission statement? The problem is, they won't even say the word Yahweh. Now, isn't that the strangest thing with any of us to even realize that Yahweh is a cuss word to Christians and to pastors? Mm-hmm. I mean, that just says enough right there to say, what the heck's going on with you guys? You know, when you get into speaking in tongues, well, we're not going to do that. We're going to prophesy, we're not going to do that, even though the Word says to do that. And so what happens is their statement is not true. Their mission statement is not true either. And that's what confuses us. You know, our core foundational beliefs are based on the Bible, which is good. God, they're never going to say Yahweh, is the creator and ruler of the universe. And then Jesus is the Son of God. Okay.
Sounds good.
Sounds good. I mean, at least, you know, and even the compromises, okay, his name's not Jesus, and his name's not God. We'll go with that. You know, so you start thinking about the compromises. And the Holy Spirit lives in each Christian from salvation. Well, that's a true statement also. Now, the only one they really got bad down here is people will exist eternally with or without God. Well, that's not true at all. Here's another one that Rachel goes to, and it's a mega church. It's called Potential Church in Florida. They have like 15,000 members. and our mission to partner with people to reach their God potential, to impact the world for good, and stem from a deep desire to not only follow God, but to grow a community. Now, here's another place. Well, they will never say Yahweh. It's really a curse word. And we're going to find out that's not the case. Our beliefs. We affirm the Holy Bible as the inspired Word of God and as the only basis for our beliefs. All right?
Sounds good.
Yeah, I mean, but it comes down to, and I'm just going to hit highlights. All Scripture is a testimony to Christ. Is that a true statement?
No.
Oh, so even in your, before you even get started, you just made a false statement. Who is himself the focus of divine revelation? Is Christ the focus of divine revelation? Who is?
Yahweh, his Father.
Yahweh! Oh my God! Yeah, I mean, this is, and this is your statement of beliefs. And then you got, there's one, you know, there's God, there's only one living and true God, but he's in three persons. The eternal triune God, that's not in the scripture, reveals himself to us as Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, Spirit, with distinct personal attributes, but without division of nature, essence, or being. Is that true? No. Then you have God the Father, is that true? Yes. God the Son, is that true?
No.
And so we affirm the Holy Bible as the inspired Word of God and as the only basis for our beliefs. And every church is going to say the same thing. And they are complacent and they have been compromised. These are not true statements whatsoever. They came to defend them. Christ is the eternal Son of God. You know, it's funny. God the Son, Christ is the eternal Son of God. Why don't they say Christ is the eternal God the Son? You know, even reverse it. They reverse it at the beginning, God the Son. And the eternal Son of God, there's no such scripture that says that. You know, and the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God, fully divine. And so we go on and on and on. And so it's really a travesty for our group to say, man, I don't like being by myself. I don't like to be in small groups. I would like to go into a place where there's 100 or 1,000 people like-minded, celebrating.
Yeah.
But guess what? That's not going to happen.
No.
And so we all have to make a decision whether, you know, we can actually go there if you don't get too offended, but you have to come down to what the Word says and don't compromise it. And when somebody says this, you have to really tell them, because in Galatians 6 it says, if a brother is taken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one to the spiritual meekness. So when you see somebody erroring, then you should contact them. And so, which I have done. And so I have worked with these people for a long time, all their pastors and the head pastors, sending books, a Rotherham Bible. You know, I've sent, you know, Rachel, when she showed this, you know, so I found their home address and sent them the Rotherham information in our website, which would set them free. But otherwise, you're living under an illusion. And we're going to see that with complacence and compromise. And who's a perfect illustration of this is Aharon. And so I'm going to do a contrast between Aharon and Moses. Now, they say, was Christ complacent?
No.
And remember, complacent is, let me see here, desire to please, obliging, agreeable.
No.
No. Did he compromise to consent to arbitration?
No.
No. You know, we want to be fully followers of Christ. Christ was not complacent, and he does not compromise.
Right.
But we do all complacence, and we all compromise. You know, so it's a surreal world that you live in, but let's go to Exodus 32. And let's look at Aharon, and we know people like this, and it's easy to be this way. It's hard to stand, even as a Republican.
Yeah.
You know, because you are slandered falsely. You know, people will put Trump bumper stickers on their car, and that intimidation, you know, and that's a sad state. But here is Aharon. In verses 1 through 6, and when the people saw that Moses delay to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aharon and said unto him, now remember, this is 40 days. So we think this happened just Moses went up and a week later you're doing this. Well, this could have been 3 weeks later. It's been 3 weeks, or it's been a month. You know, a month is 30 days. He's been up there 40. So 40 days, I got on a mountain with no food or water. Now, they have to disregard all the stuff that happened, the miracles he brought, right? Make for us gods who shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we know not what has befallen him. Are the people complacent and ready to compromise? Yeah. Yes, they are.
Where did he go? What happened to him?
And Aharon said unto them, no! We're going to wait for Moses. No. It is, break off the rings of gold which are in the ears of your wives and your sons and your daughters and bring them unto me. And this is apparent. Shauna, you know, so we have three generations. When we are gone, it's you and Israel and Aaron and Donna and Tim. And the third generation, otherwise, it's gone.
It's gone.
It's just absolutely gone. And I guarantee you, speaking in tongues is gone. Yeah. I bet you, you know, you look at, you know, Holly or Ryan or
Sarah,
you know, speaking in tongues, interpretations, all gone.
Yeah.
You know, which is, and that, in that generation, they're not going to teach their children the word.
Yeah.
You know. Which is not, I mean, we can't make that happen. I hope they turn around. And three, and all the people themselves break off the rings of gold which were in their ears and brought them unto Aharon, and he received the gold through him and fashioned it with a graving tool and made it a molten calf. And they said, you know, this is what people want. These are thy gods, O Israel, who brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And when Aharon saw it, he built an altar before it. So you're looking at this. And Aharon made proclamation and said, a festival to Yahweh tomorrow. Is Aaron popular? Aharon popular with the people?
Yes.
Do they like him?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Are they applauding him?
Yes.
Are they his best friends? No. Yes. Yes.
Yeah, and
because he's doing what they want him to do. And that's what the pressure you're going to get at school and everything else. You can become very popular if you do what other people want you to do.
I had that with my son.
Yeah. And so they rose up early in the morning and offered a sin sacrifice and brought near peace offering. And the people sat down to eat and to drink and then rose up to make sport. And this word sport is the word laugh. And this is where we get Isaac's name. Hmm. It's to laugh. And so if you look at the footnote E, it goes down to, it refers you to when Sarah laughed. You know, Genesis 21:3, interesting word. But we saw that Aaron, if Moses never came back, these people could never take the land of Canaan. Mm-mm. Very simply. They're all going to end up dying in the desert, in the wilderness, where we're going to come out to be. But people would have had a good time doing it until the manna stopped.
Yeah.
Until the water out of the rock stopped. And so what they have to do then is they have to end up going back to enslavement.
Yeah.
They have to go back to Egypt or go to other nations and let them be enslaved. So when the party's over, the money has run out, that's the results. When you cut off Yahweh, guess what's going to happen? It's not going to rain. You're not going to get manna. You're not going to get blessings. Now, we go to Numbers 12. Another example of Aharon's compromise with Miriam. 12 verse 1 and 2. And Miriam and Aharon spake unto Moses on account of the Cushite women whom he had taken, for a Cushite woman had he taken, and they said, is it only and solely with Moses that Yahweh has spoken? With us also hath he not spoken, and Yahweh heard it. So, now we can see where I think the instigator here was Miriam, and since it mentioned her names first, and that's why she gets leprosy, why Aharon does not. But Aharon compromised and was complacent, and complacent is being agreeable. And so she doesn't like Miriam, she's my big sister, and she doesn't like the Cushite woman. So maybe I won't like the Cushite woman. So she he jumps right in with him, and now he's complacent again. Now we go to 25, 1 through 11 of Numbers.
Chapter 25.
Yeah, Numbers 25. And I guess we really don't have to read it. But this is where Balaam came in. And you got the daughters of Moab. And so what happens, let's read verse 1. Israel, you know, this is in the wilderness. Israel remained among the Acadians, and the people began to go away and chase thee unto the daughters of Moab. Are these Christian people? Yes. We'll use it in a general sense.
Okay.
These are circumcised individuals in the wilderness. These are the churchgoers, right?
Yeah.
So do churchgoers become complacent and compromise? Absolutely. Who invited the people unto the sacrifice of their gods. And so, you know, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And so the people did eat and did bow themselves down unto their gods. Did people bow and pray to Mary? Yes, they do. They pray other saints? Yes, they do. Is Mary alive? No, she isn't. You know, is that pleasing Yahweh in any way, shape, or form? No, is it displeasing him? Yes, it is. Is it popular? Billions of Catholics, probably more than Protestants. But we're going to find out at the end the result of this sin. Let me see here. Well, let's just go to 9. And it was found that they who had not died by the plague were 24,000. So 24,000 people died because of this sin. Pastors, well, Moses was there. People going away after their own coveting of their flesh. So they actually joined the world, which is Satan's world. We've got to see that the God of this age. So most churches, this is what happens. As we know now, they're accepting sodomy. They're accepting homosexuality. You know, I think even the Catholic Church has stepped into that with the Pope. Mm-hmm. Now we go into the fidelity of Moses. Big contrast. So Hebrews 11, verse 23. And guess what? I don't believe most people would not ever want Moses to be their pastor. Which is really sad.
Yeah.
Because if they want to please Yahweh, you want Moses to be your pastor.
Yeah.
Hebrews what?
11.
Chapter 11.
Faith and endurance.
Yeah. It'd be interesting to ask everybody, would you want Moses to be your pastor? I mean,
did say
with
yes.
No miracles. He's not going to do any miracles. Would you want to be your pastor? I think if everybody down in their heart would say no. Would you want him to be your father?
No.
Isn't that sad? I mean, that's how far we've gone. To be. And that means we are compromised. We are compromised. So let's just go to 23. By faith, Moses, when born, was hid 3 months by his parents because they saw that goodly was a child and were not affrighted at the decree of the king. By faith, Moses, when grown up, now this is very important. We're going to get into a word called anod. Anod is being afflicted willingly, elect to suffer rather than to enjoy worldly happiness and abundance.
Anod. Is it Hebrew or Greek?
It's Hebrew. But we're going to see if Moses was a patient above or humble above all men. And that's where anod, which we're going to go to in Numbers. But think of this right now. What he is elected to do, he is living in the wealthiest place in the world. And he's actually a family member. And he's going to turn it down. And accept, on the contrary, affliction. But this is willingly accepted affliction. So there's one thing where you're not willingly accepting affliction.
It's like
you're beating up. A person coming to beat you up, you're not going to let them beat you up. But there is a point where you do something, and parents many times will do this, you know, by their kids afflicting them, and they bear it and keep their mouth shut. And that's elect to suffer rather than to enjoy the worldly happiness and abundance for your friends. But so he's going to turn down, it's at his knee. Moses went from the palace to the wilderness. Joseph went from the wilderness to the palace. Mm-hmm. Somebody said, oh, that's a good illustration. But 24, by faith, Moses, when grown up, refused to be called the son of a daughter of Pharaoh. You're turning down everything because he's not going to compromise. Rather choosing affliction to be jointly suffering ill treatment with the people of Yahweh than for a season to be to having sin enjoyment. So, you know, a Trump supporter, I choose it, proud of it. And so now you say, Yahweh, I'm unabashed, I'm proud of it. Mm-hmm. I'm speaking tongues. Yes, don't you? Oh, tongue talker. You know, and these are insults, but the God of this age has got people to do it. 36, accounting as greater riches than Egypt's treasures, the reproach of the anointed one. Mm-hmm. For he was looking away unto the recompense. By faith he forsook Egypt, not put in fear the wrath of the king, for as seeing him who cannot be seen, he persevered. Our world we are put in is a present evil age. We can't look to that to fulfill our needs. Now you can have great things. Yahweh, like Abraham, you play out. Abraham was a very wealthy individual, so wealth could be fine, but we cannot get haughty once we get wealthy. And we cannot commingle and get from the unrighteous ways what the world's doing. But we have to realize that this isn't my home. I'm going to please Christ. I'm going to please Yahweh on the new earth. That's what my objective is. Now we go to Numbers 12, 3, chapter 3. You're going to see about Moses. So we have to have that realization. And we actually elect to do that. I'm electing to do this. I'm going to elect to go upstream, not go downstream. Okay, verse 3. Now the man Moses was Anaw, A-N-A-W.
Or which patient. Which one is that? Patient.
But it's not patience. And it's not
humility. I'm wondering which one you're...
Yeah, patient, yeah. B, you're looking at it here, or tried. See down there, tried. Was he tried? Absolutely. People, best buds? Most of the time, no. We're going to see. Exceedingly. Mm-hmm. Not only that, he was not exceedingly above all the sons of the earth who were on the face of the ground. Wow, what a compliment. And that should be our aspiration, to have that kind of fidelity to our Yahweh. And when somebody insults you, you know what you do? I take it. You know, if I need to take it. And that is a nod. That's what Moses did. And we saw this as a great example was Abraham did the same thing. He left the city. Noah, he left all of civilization. He got 8 people to hang with, right? Mm. 8 people out of billions to hang with. Joseph, Jacob, David, Elijah, Daniel, Esther, Mordecai, Peter, Paul. You know, all of them made a choice to go into an undesirable place because the world's not going to like it. And I can still prosper. And he wants us to prosper. We've got to realize, well, I'm going into an unpopular place. And these places, why they have 50,000 members is because of compromising. I give them what they want. Now, so success and its danger. So we got all these people who are successful. Noah was successful. Abraham was successful. Joseph was successful. Jacob, David was successful. So think of all these people. Daniel and Mordecai, these are in charge of nations. Mm-hmm. All right? Success is dangerous. Now, haughty and being exalted. And so once we become successful, we've got to realize we can't become haughty. And so we saw that with Jehoshaphat. So we go to 2 Chronicles 17.
King Saul also.
Samuel, King Saul, Chronicles.
Chapter what?
Chapter 17. And so with kids, or all of us, success can usually be our biggest problem. We think, no, I'm striving for success so I can help people. That's true. But once you get success, that's generally when people fall. Mm-hmm. Sad to say. But while we've got these lessons, we can see that. So verse 3 to 6 of chapter 17, 2 Chronicles, and it came to pass that Yahweh was with Jehoshaphat, because he walked in the first ways of David his father, and sought not unto the Balaam. For unto the Elohim of his father he sought, and in the commandments he walked, and not according to the doing of Israel. Therefore did Yahweh establish the kingdom in his hand, and all Judah gave a present unto Jehoshaphat, and he came to have riches and honor and abundance. Great success. I mean, this is, Yahweh's blessing us. He will bless us. And his heart was encouraged in the ways of Yahweh, and he yet further took away the high places and the sacred stem out of the Judah. So, bravo. Turn the page. 18 verse 1. Read that, Melania.
And it came to pass when Jehoshaphat had riches and honor in abundance that he contracted by marriage affinity with Ahab.
Compromise, complacency. Now you've got, you're at peace, whatever I touch turns to gold. So let's incorporate this old family. And you can do this with family members. You bring in a dark family member, all right? You're doing the exact same thing. He said, well, he's family. They're kin. They're my kin. Yahweh says, don't do it. And we know what happened with Jehoshaphat. See,
his grandchildren, right?
Yeah. His children were murdered by his son. Mm-hmm. Athaliah ends up killing his grandchildren, all except for one. And so it just turns out to be a disaster.
He started off
like Aharon, or like Moses, and then he became Aharon because he compromised with darkness. You know, we can make out, guess what? I'm going to work with this darkness, and he's going to see my light and come my way. Or I'm going to do the opposite. I'm going to go towards his darkness. Because when Micaiah came up and said, don't go, you're going to be killed, Joshua went anyway.
Jehoshaphat
went anyway. Remember Micaiah, and so we can be Micaiahs, where all of a sudden we say, Micaiah, what was it? Now, so when Micaiah, he chose to suffer affliction.
He went right to prison.
Why? Because what Yahweh told him to say, he said it. You know what it cost him? What happened?
His freedom. He's thrown into prison.
Yeah, he's thrown into prison with the bread of affliction and water. He could have said, I'm out of there. But guess the rewards he's going to get will be fabulous.
Yeah.
Now we go to Uzziah, chapter 26 of 2 Chronicles. Great start. And you got to do this with your children too. You've been watching them and watching them and watching. And if they get that success, and here, you warn. Now it's the hard part from there on. Verse 4. And he did that which was right in the eyes of Yahweh according to all that Amasa, his father, had done.
Messiah.
And it came to pass that he set himself to seek Elohim in the days of Zechariah, who gave understanding in the scenes of Elohim, and throughout the days of his seeking Yahweh, Elohim prospered him. Wow. Verse 16. But when he became strong, uplifted was his heart unto ruin. For he acted unfaithfully against Yahweh's Elohim and entered into the temple of Yahweh to burn incense upon the altar of incense. And you can read the rest of the story. Yahweh gives him leprosy. Because he did something that is an abomination. And here was the guy that Yahweh blessed. Think of Yahweh looking at this man. Now we're going to look at Aharon's sons. So we got to look at this too. I really feel sorry for these people. You know, you're really, really, really popular, and you're making a lot of money. You know, some of these people, I think they buy their churches. They got $46 million set aside. You know, he's got 34 churches going into this. But when you are not going to do something, and you've fallen short, you've compromised the word. What's going to happen to you is maybe what happened to Aharon's sons. That's in Leviticus. Now, how important is Aharon's sons? I mean, that's Moses' nephews. These are the high priest, Leviticus 10. So don't ever think that Yahweh is impressed with titles. And on the contrary, the more you've been given,
the more you're expected.
You're expected.
Exactly.
And when you defy me, and the people are praising you, here's what happened. What could happen?
Spanking.
10:1. Then Aharon's sons, Nadab and Abihu, took each man his censer and placed her in fire and put therein incense and brought near before Yahweh strange fire, which he had not commanded them. They had been put in the highest position in the priesthood. Guess what? Then came there forth fire from before Yahweh and consumed them, and they died before Yahweh. Do you think that these are Aharon's sons, Moses' nephews, priests, that Yahweh in the new earth is going to be impressed? No. That's the same way with these people. I think what's up is going to be down, but it looks like so contrary. Look how many people's lives you have touched, but in a negative way too. So you've touched them in a positive way, but you've also touched them in a very negative way. We know this happened to Miriam. I guess we don't have to go there, but we know Miriam became haughty. Success made her haughty. Aharon's sons had success. They became haughty. You know what haughty means? It means to be lifted up. You don't want to use the word proud. Many people say proud. Well, proud is a good word. I'm proud to be an American. It's not a bad word. So haughty is high and lowly. So you got haughty or lowly. So we know with Miriam, she was haughty and said, not only does Yahweh, I'm pretty, you know, so it's like these guys. Yahweh speaks to me too. He's put me in charge of this great congregation like Kenneth Copeland or Joyce Myers or all these other people. And do you think that matters to Yahweh at all?
No.
And we know Miriam got leprosy, you know, because of her.
She did get delivered, though.
Yeah, she did get
she
delivered.
She turned.
Yeah, she turned. But Aharon prayed for her deliverance. So repentance.
And
so that's why it's important to contact these people when you see, it can be in a non-discreet way, you know, but here I care about you and I'm going to present to you the truth, because if you don't, then when we meet Christ and Yahweh, they'll say, Sean, did you ever contact Pathway? they're evil people. But they didn't do anything. They never listened to me. They never listened to me anyway. And we have only, it's just very simple to say, yes, sir. Yes, sir, I did. All right. And guess, okay, that's what you got to do. When I contact, there's 8 pastors, and so I'd write them letters. You know, and handwritten, so it wouldn't go in the junk file. And I said, you can contact me if you don't want these letters. You know, call me. Here's my email address. Here's my, you know, Facebook. Here's everything else. And my phone number. No response. And so what will happen generally is no response at all, because they're taught not to respond. Mm. You know, which is such a sad state too.
Well,
because
mine did.
No, none of these guys ever responded.
No, not there. If you're in Wichita. You told me one guy responded.
Yeah, you said, get me off your mailing list.
Yeah.
Which is fine. But they're not doing the word.
At least it was a response.
They're not doing the word. Because, let's keep in, we'll go to Galatians 6.
Makes me think of John going to Nineveh. They're not going to listen to me.
Yeah. That's up to Yahweh. You never know what's going to happen. But the least you can say is, did you give out the warning? The watchman on the wall, did you give out the warning that what they're saying is wrong? Yes, I gave out the warning. Then you're good. You're good. Thanks. 6:1. Brethren, if a man should be overtaken in any fault, ye the Spirit shall be restoring such a one in the spirit of meekness, looking to thyself, lest even thou be put to the test. So, when I write these guys and start saying, you know, things, if it's wrong, what is their obligation?
To correct it.
Right here. That's what I did to them. There's a, no. Thanks for trying to help me, but you're wrong, and here's why. Here's the scriptures.
Not one.
No, they never will. You know, and so I always do this. It's always a one-way deal. Copeland's and, you know, so I've sent Rotherham Bibles to Kenneth Copeland, to,
what's her Womack
name? No, what's her name?
Joyce
Myers.
No, his wife.
Gloria.
Gloria Copeland. You know, so I've sent letters to Andrew Womack, to Kenneth Hagin, to Billy Brim. Billy Brim's the only one who responded, was actually. And even, you know, Kenneth Hagin said he's been to hell a couple times. Yeah. You know? And I said, I wrote back and I said, what words are you, what, did you go to actually Sheol or Gehenna? And the person wrote back, not him, obviously somebody for them, that we try not to get into discourse in this matter. I mean, so I mean, you're like, there is no hell. You didn't go to hell, and you might have a vision.
Galatians 5.
Oh, we're but we know. Let's go back to number 16.
How are you?
The haughtiness.
Oh, okay.
He wrote. What'd you say? What was it?
Number 16.
Yeah, number 16. I am drifting.
Let's go.
I know.
What I have some really good responses, and it's for people on Facebook. So you can join a Christian groups, and they're in Africa, Pakistan, every place. And I would advise you, if you have some time, join these groups. And they'll have prayer requests. And I make a post of them from our website on truths every day. So I'm on 24 sites. And so and then you're kicked off one or whatever, you just find another one. They're all over the place. But how instrumental I can be to show somebody the Rotherham Bible, they go to Telos Ministries, all these teachings are completely free, available to all that stuff. And you find more people give like. So we have 300 to 400 people a day going to our website. So last month we had 15,000 visitors. And so you don't ever hear from them, you know, but they'll like you on Facebook. So it's a way you can interject because it's the lowly that want the truth.
Yeah.
Because I'll say, you know, Yahweh is the creator, not Jesus. And I'll get likes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, and I know people are like, what do you mean by that? Well, there's a paper on that. Here's the paper. Christ is not the creator. And then they can learn that stuff. So people have ears so we can really outreach people. But here is Korinth, you know, chapter 16, 1 through 3. Now you're talking about haughtiness, success. And then Korah was part of the Levites. And obviously related to Moses. Then took Korah, son of Izhar, son of Korah, son of Levi, and Dathan, and Abiram, sons of Eliab, and On, and son of Peleth, sons of Reuben, and rose up before Moses with certain men of the sons of Israel, 250 princes of assembly, called to be stadium meeting, men of renown, and gathered himself against Yahweh. Yeah. Is where it comes down to.
Yeah.
Moses and against Aharon and said to them, too much for you when all the assembly are all of them holy. All of us are as holy as you are. Yeah, don't tell us what to do. And that's what they're saying. And in the midst of them is Yahweh. So think of this, you know, so this is the haughtiness that goes about. Wherefore then should you set yourself up above the convocation of Yahweh? We go to 20. Then spake Yahweh unto Moses and Aharon, saying, separate yourself out of the midst of this assembly, that I may consume them in a moment. Don't think Yahweh is impressed with titles. You know.
Or money.
You know, how many followers you have? You know, Kenneth Copeland Ministry, they're probably $100 million a year organization. TV. Everybody would love to touch their clothing or anything else kind of relationship. So don't ever think that if you're not faith, Fosbury is fine. If you're not faithful to the truth, you've compromised it. You will pay. And many times, the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. And here's somebody in Pakistan who loves Yahweh and just wants the truth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whoop, you're right up here. You know. Now we go to 27, verse 27. And well, you know what happened to him. I guess you could look at that and get going. You know that 250 of them, Yahweh spoke with what? What did he kill them with? Fire. The 250 princes. What did he kill Aharon with?
Fire.
What about the 50 army men who came after Elijah? Twice. Fire. Just smoked them all. What did he get Sodom and Gomorrah?
Fire.
I mean, does he mess around? He doesn't mess around.
Yeah.
And then Korath. You Korath, what happened to them?
Fire.
Swallowed by earth, right?
Yeah, the earth swallowed them up.
Oh, yeah.
And it covered them up. All right. Went down to Sheol alive. Well, they all suffocated. They all died underneath there. That's what haughtiness gets you. So haughtiness, we go to 1 Peter 5, 5 through 6. We don't have to go there. But Yahweh against the haughty arrayeth himself, whereas unto the lowly he giveth favor. Be made lowly, therefore, under the strong hand of Yahweh, that he may lift thee up in due time. Man, you got to be lowly. The day of Yahweh is against, and let's just go to that, Isaiah 2. So it's really weighing out whether I want to be really praised in this world or with Yahweh.
Yeah. Being a parent is good for that.
Yeah, parents too, is to please.
Kids.
Yeah.
Give them what they want, just for peace.
Yeah. Sometimes husband and wife, or husband and wife, got to make a stand. Here's what Yahweh says. This isn't happening. 2 verse 12. For a day of Yahweh of hosts. Well, here's just an example, too, on these stages. The Lord's day is the first day of the week. Now, that was the statement of beliefs. And we're all going to live in heaven or hell. No. I mean, that's Psalms 37. The meek shall inherit the earth. Very simply thing. You know, there is no hell. I mean, how ridiculous if you got, and you go, such authority, stamp, stamp, stamp. And you say, the Lord's day. What is the Lord's day? The Lord's day, it's the day of Yahweh. It has nothing to do with any day of the week.
What chapter? 2 verse 12.
For a day of Yahweh of hosts shall be upon everyone who is what?
High and lofty.
High and lofty. And upon everyone who is what?
Lifted
up. And he shall be what? Brought low. So there's the prophecy. Let's go to Matthew 11. Let me ask you this. When Moses had a lot of people bowing to him in Egypt, when he went to Midian, were people bowing to him?
No.
No, he was bowing to his father, Jethro.
I think he did. He asked to leave.
So look at that. I mean, you left it all behind. People love you. Women want to throw themselves at you. Not for you, generally, but for what you can give them.
Represent, yeah.
Yeah, what you represent, you gave it all up. And that's the same way with us. We've got to realize that. So 11, verse 20. Then began he to upbraid the cities in which he had been, which had been done his noblest mighty works, because they repented not. Remember, Capernaum is his hometown. That's where he lived, probably after he left Nazareth. And when he, the works that he did, he's going to talk about that. And so, 23 and 24. And thou, Capernaum, unto heaven shall thou be uplifted. Unto Sheol thou shalt be brought down. Because if in Sodom had been done the works of power which was done in thee, it would be in that case have remained unto this day. Moreover, I say unto you, for the land of Sodom more tolerable will it be in a day of judgment than for thee.
Wow.
And it goes on, yeah, this is it, and this is your neighbors, this is your next door neighbor, this is the person you work for as a carpenter, this is the people you built things for, and they're like, maybe next time,
We'll hear you again.
We'll see if you're still popular. You're not very popular around, around here. The Pharisees hate you. I really like the Pharisees. So our goal is to be childlike. And that's Mark 10:13. So you have to say this is, how do we get back in line and stay out of that? 10:13. And they were bringing unto him children that he might touch them. The disciples, however, were rebuking them. But Yahushua, you know, it's amazing too. People are embarrassed of Yahushua, even to say his name. And so they're just going to carry on that even though Jesus has no bearing with anything, it's just the traditions of men. You know, we can just call him Bob is all we could do. It doesn't make any difference. But churches are not going to, hey, guess what? They said in his name. Because I speak to you the truth. But Yahushua, seeing it, was greatly displeased and said unto them, suffer the children to come unto me, do not hinder them, for such is the rule of Yahweh. So, and reign, a kingdom is to reign. Mm-hmm. For I say unto you, whosoever shall not welcome the reign of Yahweh as a child, in no wise shall enter therein. Is a child haughty?
No.
Most of them, they are not haughty at all. And this really makes sense when we're talking about, right underneath here, we'll talk about the rich run ruler, and then he says, well, let's just go right here, and 25, same chapter, the rich man is easier for a camel through an eye of a needle to pass than for a rich man to enter into the rule, the reign of Yahweh to enter. Okay. Why? Because he's haughty. So once you've made a lot of money, you know, damn, I don't bow to anybody. You know, I'm the governor, I'm the president, I run AT&T. You know, very simple. So you can really see that riches can really be a problem. Mm-hmm. Because now you're not going to act like a child in front of Yahweh. And that's rebellion. So,
exactly what Moses did.
Yeah. Yeah. And so we know with greatness, it is, Mark 9:33-37. How do you become great? Become the servant of all. You want greatness? Great aspiration. I encourage you. Then what you serve more than anybody else. Okay. Well, damn, that's not very glorious on the earth. I want to be served. So the world says, be served. And Yahweh says, serve. And so, and then endurance, we know that's Hebrews 10:36, you've got to endure. When you take the low life that we take, small fellowships, nobody appears to be interested, and how do I do that for 40, 50, 60 years and carry that on and keep making the word available whether people like it or not and stay with it instead of saying, the heck with it, I'm just going to compromise and just go and surrender. And we know that, you know, with James.
Yeah.
You know, so there's a person we know who's, now a pastor. We know that with Kevin White, too. He became a Methodist pastor. Mm-hmm. You know, and his parents knew all about it. No one, who was the other one, too? Ryan, their son became it. And so the parents just disregarded the word so they could get a job in these organizations. The Trinity's part of it, everything else. So the parents are just at stake. Yeah. But yeah, endurance. So the lowly shall be exalted. And we know, we'll kind of sum up, I guess, we're about done. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Psalms 37:11. Anad. Anah. Is that humble?
I need explanation.
So you say it's not going to be a... You say it's not going to be a pleasant walk. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
But you spell that word.
What's
what
I say? So you say there's a chance.
Psalms.
Like 1 in 1,000,000 chance. So there's a chance, huh? Yes. But Anaw. A-N-A-W. A-N-A-W. 37:11.
Anaw.
But the patient or not oppressed ones shall what? Inherit the earth. Remember, they voluntarily said, I will be oppressed for Christ's sake. Mm-hmm. If you hate Christ, you're going to hate me. Very simply. Right.
Yeah.
And shall delight themselves over the abundance of prosperity. Look at that. But the patient oppressed ones, or not, shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves over the abundance of prosperity. That's our promise. And I guess finish up in Ephesians 5:1. This is great, because who is a better example of a nod than Christ? I mean, Moses, 80 years old, you know, you got a little nest egg built up, you got a nice little area, and then somebody says, I got a job for you. I wanted that 40 years ago. I'm 80 years old now. I showed up for that appointment 40 years ago, and I was rejected. You turned me down. No, I'm retired, man. I'm retired. I got a job for you.
Play bingo and chair, man.
And but we were looking at Yahushua, man. You're looking at this, and then this is our deal. This is a great verse to memorize. Become ye therefore imitators of Yahweh, as children beloved, and walk in love, even as the Christ also loved you, and what?
Delivered himself.
And delivered himself up in your behalf. That's voluntary affliction. I took affliction voluntarily because of you, because of Donna. And offering and sacrifice unto Yahweh, that voluntarily taking the affliction is a offering and sacrifice unto Yahweh, for a fragrance of sweet smell. To the world, it stinks.
Yeah.
Yahweh. I mean, when we say Yahweh, how many people in the world are even doing that?
More.
Yeah.
But it's getting there.
But you're like, I mean, just that. How many people speak in tongues, interpret, prophesy? So I'm looking at the teaching. So somebody can actually watch our fellowship and learn how to speak in tongues, interpret, and prophesy. You know, John Lane doesn't do that. John Shanahan doesn't do that. You know, everybody else will speak in tongues, but they don't interpret or prophesy. And I thought, so what? How blessing? Because guess what? You know who's sitting there? Christ. Amen. And there's maybe a messenger, and Yahweh's light is in the back of the room. Who cares if there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7, or 10,000? He would rather have 7. Than 10,000. Now we know Apostle Paul went that same way. I finished my course. I fought the faith. All of Asia has turned away from me. You know, so he took a hard, hard road. You know, did he do that voluntarily? Yeah. Was he beaten by rods?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Was that voluntarily? Yeah. You know, shipwrecked, stripes. So we'll go ahead and I'll give us something. You know, hear from my Heavenly Father, 1 Corinthians 14, a word of prophecy for the viewers. Thank you for these words, Father, through Christ our Lord. Be patient, because your patience is is a necessity in order for you to prosper. Lean upon me, and I will gird thee, and I will give you strength, and I will give you a sound mind in order that you may make right decisions, and those decisions will catapult you into the areas of prosperity and success according to my will, according to what I have for you to do, and I will give you great compassion and resolve to help people that surround you, and you can bring deliverance in their lives as I have brought deliverance in your life. Amen. See you next week.
Thank you. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Esther.